In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Last Sunday, if you recall, the church commemorated the righteous ones of the Old Testament. These are our holy ancestors who paved the way for the birth, for the coming of our Lord Jesus the Christ. And when you look at a number of them, they in some way or some fashion were prefiguring or foreshadowing the coming of our Lord. They were types, as some of our church fathers would call them, types of Christ and the events that he would experience in his own life. Today, always on this Sunday before the event of the Nativity, when our Lord and God Savior Jesus Christ is born, on this Sunday, always, the church commemorates those persons of the Old Testament who are related by blood to Jesus the Christ. The church assigns this Sunday, therefore, as you just heard it, the genealogy of Christ according to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Now, generally speaking, modern people, we are modern people, oftentimes pay little attention to our family trees. All the more in America, which is always built on the individual. So everything about the American way of life from our very inception is basically forgetting the past. Every individual is new, and you're going to create your own future, and you don't have any regard, really, for who came before you. At best, most of us probably know maybe our grandparents, and probably we know very little about them. Therefore, when it comes to hearing a biblical genealogy, we modern people often find it very boring, very abstract, and very foreign. And probably most of us, and you probably did today, you drifted away while all these names are being rambled off. However, let's think about this. To remember one's ancestors is actually, first of all, an act of love. You and I wouldn't be here without our ancestors. Second of all, to remember our ancestors and knowing about them tells us a little bit, or more than just a little bit, about who we are. We didn't come out of a vacuum. We really are not disconnected, autonomous individuals. Each of us come from a certain line of people. We bear their characteristics physically, mentally, emotionally. We've picked up from our parents, who picked up from their parents, who picked up from their parents. So we're not these disconnected individuals. We are images of all the people who have come before us in our bloodline. I would dare say, it'd be probably worth a conversation, but one of the real root causes of the modern day malaise so many people feel today is because of a rootlessness. Somehow, if you forget your family history, you don't know who you are. It's worse in the United States, where there's so much mobility. We're always moving away from the place where our parents were from or our grandparents. And so this uprooting, this constant uprooting, constant mobility does create a sense of an identity crisis. What is more, every family history, when we learn about them, if we have that joy and blessing, we will learn about accounts of the joys and the blessings, but also the sorrows, the pains, and the skeletons of our family history. But it's that history that shapes the very person you are today. Jesus the Christ is no different. He has a history. The genealogy of Matthew is always heard on the Sunday before Christmas. For several reasons, one of which is to remind you and me that Jesus the Christ also has a family tree. He too has a family history. What's emphasized behind all this is that our Lord and God, Savior, Jesus Christ, really became a human being. He really became a man in a particular place and time in history. Now, something else is important here. In the ancient world, pedigree was important, very important. Therefore, to begin a work with a genealogy was a way to call attention to all the listeners. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you about somebody who's really important. Because what the people are going to want to know is, who is this person? Why is he significant? Why is she significant? And so I'm going to tell you the line from which that person came. So when someone's going to introduce a king, they would read his genealogy, and that would tell the people, this person comes from a line of kings. If it was a noble, an aristocrat, again, they would read the genealogy to tell you, hey, this person is just not an ordinary person. This person comes from a great pedigree. And it'll be true with any historical figure. Read the Odyssey. Read Homer. It's there. Matthew, therefore, introduces Jesus the Christ with a genealogy. It's telling the people, first of all, this is a very important person. It also emphasizes the fact that this Jesus of Nazareth, he's not a ghost. He's not an apparition. This is not a myth. And this is not some god of philosophy. Because a ghost, an apparition, a myth, and a god of philosophy has no family history, has no family tree. The God-man is the son of historical persons. He is the son of Abraham. He is the son of Isaac, Jacob, David. Go down the line. He has a history. He has ancestors. And when you read the list of these ancestors, you see it filled with people who greatly sinned, but also people who greatly repented. So on this Sunday before Christmas, on the one hand, we do reflect upon Jesus the Christ, who is the I Am, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Word that called all things into existence. And nothing is made that was not made without him. On the other hand, he's a man who experienced all things human. He was born. He matured into manhood. He learned how to use a hammer. He learned how to walk. He knew poverty. He knew laughter. He knew exile. He knew communion. He knew anguish. He knew betrayal, and he knew death. He really did become like you and me in all things. Now, some people say, well, what about sin? It's not even human to sin. That's not what God created us to do, sin. Therefore, Christ never sinned, and neither did Our Lady, because it's not human to sin. It's against human nature to sin. What is scandalizing about the Lord's family tree is to mention sinners in his line, outlaws in his line, and four Gentile women, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. The lineage of Jesus of Nazareth, therefore, connects the God-man to all peoples, whether you're Jewish or not. Whether you're sinner or righteous. And what is more, it reveals the good news that God can accomplish all things and great things, even in the midst of sinful humanity. So what are we really celebrating this coming Wednesday is God incorporating all people into his family. Everyone, no one is excluded. What is more, the world into which God was born some 2,000 years ago was a world like ours today. It's still filled with, it was a world filled with violence and malice, darkness, fear, loneliness, and despair and suffering. And yet in the midst of this travesty, in the midst of this darkness, something happened on Christmas night. The event of Christmas is what? God offering to humanity a new beginning, a way out of the cycle of self-destruction. On Christmas Day, the church will sing, and note the verb tense, verb, glory to God who is born today. Not yesterday, and not some future event. Today. Today is the new beginning. That's what the Christmas liturgy is telling us. And to emphasize that new beginning, the Gospel of Matthew ended in a very peculiar way. Throughout the entire genealogy, Matthew keeps a certain rhythm. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah. And so forth and so forth, until we get to these words, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, and of her was born Jesus. Matthew does not write, Joseph begat Jesus. In other words, God broke the cycle of sin and death that was being passed on to father and son for all those generations. And Mary of Nazareth begins a new cycle, a new line, a new race, a new creation in the living person, Jesus of Nazareth. My brothers and sisters, that's the reason for the joy of Christmas. Christ is among us.